Without a doubt. I mean, the one most valuable thing I recommend to anybody, everybody, no matter what you're struggling with, is physical exercise. Plenty of research has shown that, in fact, one neuroscientist calls exercise miracle growth for the brain, because it improves your neuronal connections, it improves your ability to learn, it improves your brain's ability to change itself, it improves everything.
Day podcast radio show with Bruce Hilliard, today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Today I'd like to introduce Akshay Nanavati, the author of Fearvana, the revolutionary science of how to turn fear into health, wealth, and happiness. Akshay, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Honor and a pleasure to be here, my friend.
With fear as our friend, let's jump into this. Could you please give us a little background on yourself and what led to what you refer to as your spark event?
Sure. So my kind of journey into this concept of Fearvana and everything I'm doing now really began back in high school when I moved from Singapore to India to Singapore to the U.S. And soon after moving to the U.S., I got into drugs pretty heavily for about a year and a half. I lost two friends to that lifestyle, and I too was headed down that path. But thankfully, I got out. I joined the Marines, and from the Marines, I started to find value in pushing my limits and engaging my fears. I went mountain climbing, skydiving, cave diving, ice diving, scuba diving. I mean, you name it, ice climbing, like everything and anything in terms of engaging my fears through the outdoor sports. And then in 2007, I went to Iraq. I spent 7 months in Iraq as an infantry non-commissioned officer. I got back. I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And soon after that, I struggled with alcohol. And I found myself at a point where I was drinking myself to the point that I considered taking my own life. And that moment is when I realized something needed to change. Like, that shocked me out of my stupor, and I began researching neuroscience, psychology, spirituality, and everything, which led me to this concept of Fearvana. And the idea is that we find our success, our growth, our happiness, and ultimately enlightenment by embracing fear and engaging it, as opposed to avoiding it or escaping it. And everything I've done worthwhile in my life only validated that point, because everything worthwhile was absolutely terrifying at first, including writing a book on fear.
Most people don't do that many things in a course of 100 years. You're like going, you drink a lot of coffee. How do you do that?
I've been blessed with an exciting life. I mean, from a young age, my parents found value in traveling, so they took me around a lot. We moved from India to Singapore, and then in each area, we visit a lot of countries, and I kind of got bit by the bug. But once I got out of drugs, I started looking for more positive and empowering ways to find that high. And that's what led me on these various adventures all over the world, from mountain climbing in Bolivia to Alaska to the Himalayas to, all over and explored. I've spent 1 month dragging a 190-pound sled for 350 miles across Greenland in temperatures as low as minus 40 degrees. So done some intense things that were very exciting at the same time.
Crazy town. There's an old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. How do fear and other negative emotions come into play?
You know, that's the vision that I'm trying to combat with this notion of Fearvana, is that they are negative emotion, that fear, stress, anxiety, that these are so-called negative emotions. What I've come to learn throughout my journey is that there are no good or bad emotions. They're just emotions, and it's up to us to decide what we want to do with them. I mean, even so-called good emotions like happiness can be a negative if that's what we spend our whole life seeking out, right? I mean, that's what got me into drugs, is looking for that happiness, that joy. So sometimes we need struggle. We need to be in pain, because pain can be a stronger motivator for change. And so is fear. I mean, that's why I do what I do, because I know if it scares me, there's probably something good waiting for it. It's much easier to sit on my couch doing nothing, but it's much harder to engage my fear, but that's why there's a gift. Because that's how I not only do I improve my own life, but that's how I can make an impact in other lives as well.
You speak of spark event, though. Yours was Black Hawk Down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had multiple. That was the one that got me out of drugs and into the Marines. I still remember watching that movie. Have you seen that movie, Bruce?
I have.
It's a very powerful movie. So, you know, it's a, it's a war movie based on a true story. And in the movie, there's a scene where two soldiers, they volunteer to go down on the ground from the chopper, knowing that thousands of armed enemy personnel are heading their way. But they volunteer to go down anyway to protect one of the downed soldiers who was in a crashed chopper. And they died, but the soldier on the ground was he survived, and he's alive today as a result of their actions. And watching that just triggered something in me, that what kind of courage would it take to sacrifice everything for a fellow human being? And both of them received a Medal of Honor, which is the highest award for valor in the military. They received it posthumously. And that triggered something in me to stop living a selfish and a meaningless existence. And I started reading book after book on military and combat, and pretty much then decided to stop doing drugs and decided to join the Marines.
And you yourself went through some traumatic experience as well. How did you deal with that?
You know, I went through some struggles. Even joining the Marines, I have a blood disorder that two doctors told me Marine Corps boot camp would kill me. But I fought my way into the Marines, came back, struggled with PTSD. My job in Iraq was actually to walk out in front of our vehicle convoys and look for improvised explosive devices before they could be used to blow up our vehicles.
Jeez.
So fairly dangerous job, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But in all of this, what I came to learn is kind of that, coming back to the concept that there are no bad or good emotions. You know, when I came back from the war, I was a little jumpy because there's loud noises, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of normal, but that was used to label me with PTSD. But what I learned in all my research is that's a very normal human response to war, and that the symptoms of post-traumatic stress are not indicative of a disorder. They're just normal human responses, because my subconscious brain learned to associate loud noises with death. So inevitably, I was a little bit more jumpy than, let's say, the average person. And it's the same thing with even survivor's guilt. You know, to this day, I struggle with survivor's guilt over losing a friend in Iraq, losing a friend when he came back who killed himself. And, you know, that guilt drove me to some very, very dark places until I learned to reframe and use my guilt. Today, I have a picture up on my friend of my friend up on my wall, and it says, "This should have been you. Earn this life." And I tell this story a lot because I think this is so valuable, to say that guilt can be our ally. Fear can be our ally. Stress can be our ally. And that's how I reframed my traumatic experiences and realized that this is now my greatest gift, that I have a responsibility to not waste this existence that I've been gifted with and to do something meaningful with it.
So when you say reshape, reframe, you're referring to neuroplasticity. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So neuroplasticity is essentially the science of it's the brain's ability to change itself. And enough research has been done at this point that, you know, it's universally accepted that till the day we die, we can change our brain. And what that means is, by changing our brain, we can literally change ourselves. We can change our identity. We can change our habits, our actions, and ultimately our destiny, what we create in the world. And the way we do that is through conscious effort. So, for example, if I want to change a habit, I have to first apply conscious effort into something. Like, I'll give you an example of an amazing friend of mine who was – he got into a car wreck. Doctors told him he'll never be able to read again, never be able to do anything, struggled with depression for years until he came across Jack Canfield's book, The Success Principles. And doctor said there's no way you'd be able to read that book. But he taught himself how to read by focusing energy, looking at the word, focusing his mind and his conscious energy on it, and taught himself how to read till the point that eventually literally changed the physical structure of his brain. And obviously I don't have the science to prove it, but I can guarantee you that it did change the physical structure of his brain, because depression, when you have it, your brain looks different. Your brain looks different. Everything you do, it changes the physical structure of your brain. And we can keep changing that. So that is like the greatest gift we have, because we can constantly be someone new. We can create something new within ourselves to be whatever we want to be in the world.
You speak of our memory being the memory of the previous time we remembered a memory. That's kind of a goofy sentence, but yeah.
This is, again, it's a really valuable concept to understand, because when we think about remembering the past, we're not actually remembering the past. Like, if I ask you, let's say, what you did on your birthday last year, you're not actually remembering that event. What you're remembering is the last time you remembered that event. And then if I ask you, so let's say I ask you what you did on your birthday last year, you answer it, you think about it. Then I ask you tomorrow what you did. You're not remembering that birthday. You're remembering, you're activating the memory of it today. Like, so what you did today, you're asking you're doing that tomorrow. And the value in knowing this is that our memories are malleable. Just like the science of neuroplasticity says we can change our brain, we can change our memories as well. And the way we do that is, So let's say I have a bad memory in the past. If I put myself into a very positive, empowered state, you know, increase dopamine in my brain, increase serotonin, let's say I go for a run, and I think about this event, and I can inject positivity into that event. Because remember, I'm not remembering that event. I'm remembering the last time I remembered that event. So every time I remember it, I'm actually changing the physical structure of that memory. And so if I do that consistently, daily, every day, every day, every day, I literally change the physical structure of that memory, like the neuronal structure and the synapses in my brain. And this is why a lot of therapy is flawed, because they put people in a very negative state and they then think about that event and it just drives them further and further into a negative space. So it's really important to remember your past is not real. You can make it whatever you want it to be.
You talk about a lot of mental exercise, but you're also big on physical exercise as well.
Without a doubt. I mean, the one most valuable thing I recommend to anybody, everybody, no matter what you're struggling with, is physical exercise. Plenty of research has shown that, in fact, one neuroscientist calls exercise miracle growth for the brain, because it improves your neuronal connections, it improves your ability to learn, it improves your brain's ability to change itself, it improves everything, and not just neurologically, but spiritually as well. I think exercise, I mean, it's been my salvation. It's absolutely the one thing. I just got back from a run. You saw me before this. I was dressed in my running clothes, so I just got back a little while ago from my run. I'll work out again this evening. And I mean, it's how I found peace. It's how I found my salvation. And it's anybody I work with as a coach, I always say that we're only going to work together if you're willing to put in an exercise routine if you don't already have one. And if not, I don't work with them, because that to me is a must-have in order for your own personal, spiritual, and financial growth. And it's not just me. I mean, Richard Branson said that his secret to productivity was working out, and he runs like 200 companies in Virgin, you know? So he kind of knows what he's talking about.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, I just got back from the YMCA, and yeah, you saw me for a flash there, and I'm wearing my sweats as well.
Fantastic. Yep. It's important, essential.
It's great. Can you talk about the work-life balance?
Mm-hmm. The idea that we have this, that, okay, like my work is my work, and then I have like my life with my family. I think when you do what you love, like with me, what I do with my Firvana is, it's, there is no work and like my work and play is not unique. And again, Richard Branson, to come back to him, he said it beautifully. He said, I don't think of work as work and play as play. It's all living to me. And I do what I love, and I talk about my wife in my book. I talk about Firvana to my wife all the time. Like, we were just talking about an entrepreneur.com article that just recently was released about Firvana. So I was sharing that with her. So to me, it's not about separating work and play and all of that. Like, it's all combined. Like, I love what I do. I love my playtime. I love my work time. And I integrate all of those into one sort of seamless path to as I go about improving my life every one day at a time. So I think when we find what we love to do, it really combines itself, and it doesn't become something separate.
I like the book title Firvana. It's kind of based off of Nirvana, which is total bliss. So you're in bliss when you're in fear?
Yeah, that's the idea. My wife actually coined the word Firvana. So the idea is, again, it's these two seemingly contradictory forces, right? Fear and Nirvana. But that I've come to learn, and that's the point of the word, is that they're very much complementary. That we need fear to find our growth, our bliss, our enlightenment, ultimately. We need that. We need to engage our fears and not escape them.
Well, thank your wife for that. I think it's a really good name for a book.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, when she came up with it, I was like, that's gold. I absolutely loved it.
So, fear is maybe the number one thing that prevents people from pursuing their goals and their dreams. Could you run with that a little bit?
Sure. I think the biggest reason why, because they think fear is a negative. We live in a world that tells us to be fearless. You know, you hear people say, don't be scared of anything, and that fear and love are these two opposite things. And there's so much of a demonization of fear. So what happens is, when fear shows up, people think there's something wrong with them for feeling that fear. So they kind of avoid it and they don't engage it. Like, I'll give you an example. I worked with a friend of mine, a client also, who said to me that, I'm just waiting for the fear to go away so I can quit my job and start my business. And I told him, that's your problem. You're waiting for the fear to go away. If it's normal to be scared to quit your job and start your business. It's normal to be scared. And however fear shows up, it's okay. Just be with the fear. Don't judge the fear. I mean, considering everything I've done, you know, I've climbed mountains, I've jumped out of planes, I've free soloed up rock walls, I've spent 7 months in the Marines. I sometimes feel scared sitting alone in my house. And, you know, I used to, and it's weird, right? Like, I've done very, very intense things. And I used to sort of not follow my own advice and judge by that fear. I'd used to be like, what's wrong with you? Stop being a baby. Like, why are you scared? Until I sort of realized, you know, hey, wait a second. You talk about this all the time, and stop judging that fear. I said, okay, I'm scared of being alone in the house. Cool. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to let that mean anything. I'm just going to be with it. And ultimately, it would kind of dissipate. The impact of that fear dissipates, and I could then channel it into something meaningful. So the point is that we don't have to, we shouldn't judge our fears. We should just be with however it shows up, and then we can channel it into something meaningful, because fear is not a negative emotion. It's not we shouldn't be fearless. We need fear.
What advice would you give to someone that is looking for their path? They say you're happiest when you're doing something meaningful. How do you find that meaningful thing?
You can start with think work backwards from the ideal lifestyle you want to create. So look at a lifestyle you want to create. If you're, depending wherever you are, if you're young, you got to experiment a little bit. I mean, like I've heard this said before, which I loved, like, he who experiments most wins. If you're older, you probably got enough references and life experience now to figure out what kind of lifestyle you want to live. And then once you work back on the lifestyle, start like thinking about, okay, what do I not want in my lifestyle? What do I want in my lifestyle? And then find a quote unquote job to sustain that lifestyle. And why I put in quote unquotes is that, mountaineering could be your thing, and that's not traditionally a job, but that might be your path that you want to follow. So whatever it is, choose that lifestyle, then work backwards to find something that fits in with that lifestyle, and then you can then that becomes your worthy struggle. Like, and when I call it a worthy struggle, because that's how I define Fearvana, it's the bliss that results from engaging our fears to pursue our own worthy struggle. And we all have our worthy struggle. It could be playing chess, writing a movie, raising a child, running a marathon, writing books, whatever it may be. But it is essential to find that worthy struggle, because if you don't find that worthy struggle, you're going to struggle anyway. And that struggle, the latter of the two, is far, far worse. So it's important to get out there, embark upon your worthy struggle, to figure out what that is for you. I mean, writing a book was incredibly hard. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it was absolutely worth it, because I mean, I'm getting such amazing feedback from people. It's making an impact, and also been transformational for me professionally as well. So whatever your worthy struggle is, commit to it. Know that it's going to be hard. Know that it's going to be scary. It's going to be stressful, but that's a gift. Like, embrace that. That's how you lead to your own growth.
So what is the most important thing to walk away with from this book, then, do you think?
The single most important concept from my book that I always share is that the most important skill you need to succeed at anything in life is to develop a positive relationship to suffering. And I know that sounds harsh, but this isn't just something I came up with either. In fact, in the largest study on happiness ever conducted, this professor, he wrote this amazing book called Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience. And he says, of all the virtues we can learn, no trait is more useful, more essential for survival, and more likely to improve the quality of our lives than the ability to transform adversity into an enjoyable challenge. And the way I like to put it is to develop a positive relationship to suffering. Because if you can suffer well, not only can you handle life when it punches you in the face, and we all know that it does that from time to time, but you can also overcome every obstacle standing between where you are now and where you want to be. And ultimately, you can rise through it, and that's what leads to happiness. Happiness is not this end result. It's not the $1 million. It's not the dream home. It's not the car. It's the process of getting there that matters, and who we become in that journey.
I heard you mention Fearvana Academy. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about that?
Sure, yeah. So now with the launch of the book, we're really turning Fearvana into a global movement. We're going to be creating Fearvana into different verticals to help people to kind of combat this notion that I was saying, that there's negative emotions, combat this notion that we should be looking for the easiest way out, because we live in a world that always says that, we measure progress by the next thing that makes our life easier, and easier is not better, not at all. It's, in fact, it only makes our life worse. Mm-hmm. So to combat these kind of notions, we're creating a Fearvana movement, and one step is Fearvana Academy. We're also going to be building out Fearvana Adventures, Fearvana Travels, Fearvana Journeys, Fearvana Festivals. And Fearvana Academy is going to be an educational institution for the younger generation to teach them these kind of life skills, to teach them what it takes to live a happy and meaningful life, stuff that they're not learning in school and they're often not learning at home either. So to give them the means to live a happier, more meaningful and fulfilled life.
That is so cool. What is the best way to order your book?
Fearvana.com. It's available on there right now. Also, it's on Amazon at Fearvana. You can Google it there. But Fearvana.com, and you can always reach out to me. I definitely intend to be one of those authors that's very accessible, and I respond to my own emails. So anybody can find me and reach out to me through Fearvana.com.
I'll put the link on show notes. What books stand out to you? What books are you currently reading?
Some of the books that really made an impact in my own research is, I mentioned Jack Canfield's Success Principles. There's a great book called Buddha's Brain by Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Love, Happiness, and Wisdom, which I loved. One book I recently read, which was awesome, called Peak, Secrets from the New Science of Expertise. There's a great book called Spark, which is about the revolutionary new science of exercise in the brain. So I must have read like over 100 plus books in terms of my research for my own book. So I've read a lot, but those are a few that stand out.
Okay, now what we're all waiting for, the musical question. What music do you like to listen to?
I actually have a very wide variety from like, you know, from 90s boy bands to techno to rap. But if I had to pick one, I would say somebody who really touches my soul is Bruce Springsteen.
Really?
I love The Boss. The Boss is my go-to, I love Bruce Springsteen. He's one of my favorites.
Have you read his book?
I actually have not read his book. I should check that out.
He has it in Audible, and he narrates it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And as with his lyrics, he's lengthy, lots of verses in his songs, but he's very poetic. And
I got to check that out.
He's had a pretty interesting life, and he should read your book, actually.
I would love to somehow get Bruce Springsteen to read a copy of my book. That would be a tremendous honor.
Actually, I'll give him a call today. Bruce, it's Bruce. I got a book for you to read, dude, because I know you're born to run. Okay, the book again. The book again is called Firvana, The Revolutionary Science of How to Turn Fear into Health, Wealth, and Happiness. His name is Akshay Nanavati. Thank you for sharing your insights and experience. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Bruce. It was a pleasure.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
Radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.